Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all, 7 Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair Media Network. We've lived long enough to see the SEC become the Big 12. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. a reformed Mississippi State fan turned Rebels diehard. And with me, as always, is AJ. Every school in Florida is trash, just like your state. I added that last bit. Marchese.
I'm not going to stand by those words.
You let all the fans into the stadium, Florida. Gotcha. Today we'll break down our 2021 NFL draft superlatives from this past Saturday in college football. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving up to Cleveland, maybe looking for a Lawrence or Sewell. Don't draft specialists on the first day, don't draft specialists on the second day, maybe draft a punter in the sixth. We'll see. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Wait is finally over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff early. The NBA Finals are here. And the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Okay, before we jump into it, AJ and I missed something last week. Trey Lance declared. North Dakota State redshirt sophomore quarterback Trey Lance declared. We knew it happened. We just didn't talk about it on the show because we just both kind of assumed it was happening and weren't shocked by it and never thought about it again.
Yeah, the more exciting news is Dylan Raidens has accepted a Senior Bowl invite.
Good point for Senior Bowl invite of the year. Since he declared, like, in the summer, everyone was all in on Trey Lance. Like, he's clearly in the top three quarterback conversation. I think he is pretty close to Justin Fields at this point. Obviously, Fields now has 8 games to prove otherwise. But once he declared, I saw a lot of people, like, coming out and being like, well, there's only been 4 redshirt sophomore quarterbacks to ever declare for the draft, and they were all, like, pretty terrible, including Johnny Manziel. This is, obviously it doesn't happen very often, but in his 16 or 17 games, whatever it was, he clearly showed he has the physical tools. He's perfect for today's NFL. He's got all the arm talent in the world. Even though he struggled in his one game showcase against Central Arkansas, you still saw what he could do, especially in the second half with his arm and on the ground. Is just a fantastic athlete. It's obviously wildly early in the process, but realistically, AJ, like, Trey Lance isn't going to fall out of the top 10 or, like, Dwayne Haskins went 15th and played one season at Ohio State, like, started for one season at Ohio State, and I think Trey Lance is clearly the better prospect at this point, just in terms of physical traits. So I just can't really even imagine him falling into the top 10.
I will say top 15 to be safer than you. But it's so true,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you're always safe.
And play it safe. It's so true, though. It's like everyone just fucking turned on him once he declared. It was weird. Yeah, it was like I saw, like, very rarely saw any negative tweets. And then it kind of started during the game when he was struggling a bit in the first half. And, you know, we talked about that last week. And then, yeah, it was like, oh, people saying he's close to Justin Fields are crazy. And it's like, okay, man. It's like, it was so weird. But that's the life of draft Twitter, Rob. You know that firsthand, buddy.
The other thing is, like, even if he is, like, I'm assuming Justin Fields takes another leap this year and firmly has himself as quarterback 2 behind Trevor Lawrence. Which, so I don't, like, it's not a hot take to say Trey Lance is clearly the third quarterback, but it's just a hot take to act like he's not a first round caliber quarterback, especially mm-hmm. in this class where this QB4 door is just rotating. KJ Costello fucking sucks. Kyle Trask is like, he doesn't really get the blood flowing for you, you know? Yeah, like, he looks like he's going to play for a while in the NFL, but how high is that ceiling? He reminds me of Nick Foles personally. And then, like, Kellen Mond is starting to build some hype after this past week. More on that in a bit. But it's, like, still a very open QB4 door for Zach Wilson to eventually take the reins. So I just think, like, people just like to have hot takes or something. I don't know. That's draft Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, once one person says something, they all like to kind of pile on. It's a copycat profession, but, you know, we do it too, so it's okay.
In 3 months, people will be talking about how maybe Trey Lance should go 1.
You know, it's sometimes like the stock of players is predictable, though. You know what I mean? It's like they'll dip and then they'll rise, and you kind of know it. Like it's like how many times do we say, okay, he'll go to the combine and look pretty good, even though everyone kind of hates him right now, and then his stock will go up. Like, is it actually his real stock? I don't know, but it's his draft Twitter stock. You know what I mean?
And that's the more important stock in my eyes.
Exactly.
Okay, let's jump into it. Week 6 of college football was actually a pretty fantastic day of games.
Yeah, it was a lot of crazy stuff, and it was fun.
Close games, upsets, we had it all. And, like, every time slot felt strong. Mm-hmm. Week 7, it doesn't look like that will be the case.
Yeah, but you said this week, so.
Yeah, I'm doing the jinx again.
Shh, don't mention it. Everyone knows.
All right. Our day of college football actually started on a Thursday this week, too, which was nice. And it starts on a Wednesday this week.
Wow.
This upcoming week. Let's jump into best freshman. Speaking of weekdays, who's your top freshman?
Well, you can't lead me into that, and I can't not say Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So, I know. This is genius.
Jahmyr Gibbs, he was so much fun to watch for that Georgia Tech attack, man. Another
game Yellow Jackets?
Yeah, where he had a receiving touchdown and lots of yards receiving. And like not the biggest day on the ground, but he's just like him and Sims both look like they're going to be college football dudes. Sims we'll see. I think Gibbs will be, like, I can safely say he'll probably be a draft dude. I'm not going to say that about a freshman quarterback yet.
Hot take. Wow. Whoa.
I'm playing it. It's play it safe Sunday for AJ, okay? That's it.
Okay, I'll be the risky one.
Okay.
Jahmyr Gibbs, top 10 pick in 3 years. 121 total yards on 15 touches. We saw what he could do as a pass catcher in previous weeks. Yeah, saw it again against Louisville. He's just so explosive in the open field. And the other thing is, it's not like he's really out of nowhere. He's like him and Jeff Sims were the prize of Jeff Collins' rebuild at Georgia Tech recruiting-wise. And it's paying off, because I've put Jeff Sims down here as well. He had 3 total touchdowns, threw for 249, ran for 64. He's just such a, like, confident quarterback for a freshman. And, like, is Louisville that great? No.
Yeah, but big bust of a team.
They won 8 games in the ACC last year. And, like, there were high hopes. They were ranked in the fake top 25 at one point.
Yeah.
And Georgia Tech wasn't expected to really be competitive until at least next year. And now they've toppled Florida State at Florida State, and then they beat Louisville at Bobby Dodd.
2 powerhouses.
And I mean, they're, like, in a regular year, this looks like a team that would be fighting for a 6-win bowl season. And That's a huge win for Jeff Collins, turning this triple option offense into a spread, exciting, like, Jeff Sims looks like in 3 years, he'll be a potential quarterback prospect, and Gibbs looks like a top running back in the nation down the road.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they would have made a bowl game if they had, you know, four easy games to start the season.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, they would have ran through Campbell.
Well, I don't know about the Camels. That's a heavy task, but yeah.
The Camels just playing only ACC teams this year and getting destroyed. I feel bad.
Let's continue with Play It Safe Sunday. I guess it's Monday, but we're recording on Sunday. Eric Gilbert, baby. Ooh, sticking my neck out on the line with this one. He looked great again.
He's a freak.
Yeah, he is a freak. Like, I don't know how the hell he's a freshman. Actually, you know, to just go back to Gibbs, too, he's so well-built for a freshman back. But Eric Gilbert's well-built for an 18-year-old, any 18-year-old in the world. Another big game for him. Had the sweet touchdown there. He looks like a dude. A lot of tight end talk for me today, at least. And he's tight end one in 3 years. Maybe tight end one next year is coming up later, and then we already know tight end one for this year is. So let's just
a lot of tight end one talk.
A lot of tight end one talk, baby.
Yeah, Eric Gilbert. I mean, the fact that you can be 18 and already be 6'6", 250, and already also be one of the best athletes on the field in major college football, it's shocking. He's a freak. Sure. Yeah. Speaking of SEC freshmen, how about a guy who caught your attention last week, Tank Bigsby?
Yeah, this the was, Tank, baby.
This, I think, against Arkansas, I know Bo Nix tried to lose the game, Auburn somehow won, and the Razorbacks were robbed. But Tank Bigsby gave their offense a legitimate identity on the ground. This, I think, was his real breakout game. Ran for 146. This guy breaks first, like, his name is Tank, but he's not, like, the biggest back. He's built well for a freshman. He's 6 foot, 205, I believe. But he's breaking first contact, like, on almost every touch. He's so physical. He was just bucking defenders. I love Tank Bigsby.
I love Tank Bigsby, too. And, like, first of all, it's the name. That's a great name. It's not just Tank. Bigsby, I think, is a great fucking last name, too. yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's been fun to watch the first couple games. And that's, I mean, Seth Williams and Anthony Schwartz are fun, but Bo Nix is my least favorite player maybe in college football history. I don't like him at all. So having the other guys around him and big old Tank is enjoyable.
My least favorite is Denard Robinson.
Okay, how can you not love Shoelace? That's a bad take.
He's from the school up north.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Who was the other quarterback at Michigan when they both got there and he started over Shoelace left after like 2 years?
Tate Forcier, baby.
Yes, I hate him legitimately.
I don't blame you. I love Tate Forcier though. Going from the big old Tank Bigsby, let's do the opposite. Deuce Vaughn, baby, another great name. Another exciting freshman running back who, not a major game. Had like, I don't know, I can't do math in my head. You're good at doing it. 87 total yards? That might be wrong. Had the big catch and run, though, to kind of set up the game there for the Wildcats. Deuce Vaughn is so much fun. He's going to be so much fun to watch at K-State for fucking 3 more years, maybe 4.
K-State loves short running backs.
They do. I mean, for like his first career game ever, the Sproles comps were coming out, so that's sick. But no, he looks really good. And you know what's been impressive to me just overall is a lot of these underclassmen running backs catch the ball so well. And I know that's something obviously we know the NFL is looking for. And I think we're seeing it more at the high school. I mean, we must be having it more at the high school level, just getting them involved more. And I mean, it's smart. So these guys coming out and catching the ball better than they ever have. And I mean, hopefully they can pass block too. I that's going to be such a swoon for the NFL in a couple years.
All aboard the sophomores train. Is that a good transition with the train in the background?
Sometimes I can't hear it, but then I'll listen to the show, and it's like, holy fuck, how could I not hear that so loud? But yeah, it's good. This is a long train here, Rob. We got a lot of sophomores.
Yeah, for real. And let's start at the top with our son, Matt Corral.
That's correct.
Because I assume you have him as well.
I do. I have a lot of guys though. But yeah. Corral is awesome, man. What a fucking gunslinger, man. Fucking cannon on his arm. I love them so much. And I mean, what a game. They almost pulled it off. Didn't cover our homemade spread, which sucks because they should have. Covered the real spread, though. I don't like what can we've said so many great things about Matt Corral. What can you add here, Rob?
He's got an awesome arm. He is consistently showing an ability to win out of structure. I mean, that Alabama defense didn't look very good, but we know they're full of NFL talent. In the moment, never looked too big for him. I don't know how Taysom Hill Plumlee was playing over him last year. I mean, that's just Rich Rod being Rich Rod.
Let me add something to this. Like, we know Plumlee's obviously a great athlete, but like, Matt Corral has looked like a really good athlete. Like, it's not like he's running for 100 yards a game, but he's making guys miss, and he's and like you said, the out of structure stuff. He's looked fantastic on that, and like when they put Plumlee in the game, and it was almost a fumble. Like that, like Matt Corral could have got that little fucking zone read and got in the end zone.
Yeah, so stop doing Taysom Hill stuff, Wayne. Matt Corral, awesome arm, really good at his structure. Like, he's, I think, a legitimate quarterback prospect down the road. He's only redshirt sophomore. Especially with Lane Kiffin there, just knowing... And also, the players around him are all relatively... Jerion Ealy and Snoop Connor, the running backs, are both relatively young guys who are going to be back. I know Elijah Moore's draft eligible, and our tight end one, Kenny Yeboah, is also a senior. Like, those guys won't be back, but, I mean, you just got to expect if they can do that, they're going to be able to attract offensive recruits and, hey, maybe become the Big 12 team in the SEC.
Retweet. I also threw Ealy down here while we're here because he looks amazing too. Another sophomore. But you just said, having those two in the backfield for another two, three, whatever the hell, I can't do math years. That looks amazing. Imagine if Lane got like all the talent from the last couple years at Ole Miss on the field. Like, imagine DK and AJ were still there with Matt Corral and Ealy. That'd be fucking sick. Anyways, well, I'm all aboard the Lane train, Rob.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna go to the Tennessee-Georgia game here and go with linebacker Henry Toto. Is that how you say it?
I think you're right, yeah. I also have him down.
He was dominant against the Georgia running game. I know Tennessee ended up like just losing it in the second half, but he was consistently stacking, shedding blocks, attacking angle. Like, he was a master defending the run. I know he got burnt early in the passing game, but he looks like... He just so instinctual and physical for a young backer, and he reads keys so well, and I was blown away by him. And I know he was really good as a freshman, but yeah, like, that's, I think, the best player on Tennessee.
Yeah, 11 tackles, 2 TFLs. I'm not sure what type of pass cover guy he's going to be, but yeah, defending the run, he looked amazing. Okay, well, I'll jump to a pass cover guy because that's a natural transition. Kahiri Elam, baby, he was a monster this Saturday. 3 pass defense. That one early in the game, I forget who the target was. Just click and close, man. That looks so impressive. I think he's like 6'2". Had another one of his other pass defense was in the end zone. He looks like a guy. I know there's like. People were anointing him as a freshman at Florida already last year. He looks fantastic.
Yeah, and it helps that Marco Wilson looks horrible opposite him.
Yeah, he hasn't been great.
On a horrible Florida defense, Elam looks like the most talented guy out there each week, I think.
I love Ventrell Miller, but, like, you know...
He had a bad week.
Let's move right there, because Isaiah Spiller, who's, I think, both of us should have here, ran the fuck over Ventrell Miller on the fourth quarter touchdown on fourth down. He had the one PBU that he could have been an interception. That was a nice play on another sophomore that I can mention. I will in a sec. But yeah, he kind of had a rough week. But Spiller, man, take the Spiller train here.
Spiller is a guy who had a lot of hype entering the season. The Texas A&M offense was kind of stale up until this Florida game.
Yeah.
Really just relying on Kellen Mond creating for himself. And then he explodes for 174, 2 scores, ripped off, like you said, the huge run where he trucked Ventrell Miller. he's a big back, too. Like, he's a long strider. He's 6'1". He's like 220, 225-ish. Really physical, but patient and great contact balance. He's a guy I'm excited to watch down the road.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's a good tandem back there in the backfield for A&M.
Yeah, him and Aeneas Smith are just like they can contrast really well. Yeah.
While we're in A&M, Jalen Widermeyer, the tight end, he could be tight end one next year. He looks great. He's already big. Like, not a monster game. 5 catches, 53 yards, but he had that awesome one-handed catch. He looks like he's going to be a top 10 end next year.
And he was awesome against Alabama, too. Mm-hmm. Like, the A&M pass-catching group has struggled up until this Florida game outside of him. Like, him and Aeneas Smith have been the go-tos. But you know who the new go-to is? Caleb Chapman, who I've got down here as well. The sophomore receiver for Texas A&M, he was torching Marco Wilson in that safety group. Had two scores, 151 yards. Well built guy, 6'5".
Yeah,
and moving really well.
You know what I did? I cheated. I put him out of nowhere because he is eligible. He's a redshirt sophomore. just to get him out of the sophomore category. But yeah, he looked fantastic, man. Like, and like you said, 6'5". Contested catches. It was like the whole offense kind of just in the air was Chapman and Widermeyer, and on the ground it was Smith and fucking Spiller. It was a good. I mean, they played great, and I think when you get a good Kellen Mond, I know you're gonna touch on Mond later. Maybe we both will, but when you get a good Kellen Mond, that's a competitive and obviously good football team.
Okay, this is way too much sophomore talk. I'm going to do one more and then move on. Kyren Williams, once again, correct, the Notre Dame running back, 185 yards, two scores. The Florida State defense just doesn't, I don't think, know how to defend the run. But Kyren Williams, he's so twitchy and physical. And Notre Dame entered the year with questions around how their offense would work with losing so many pass catchers and not having a stable running back. And Ian Book being Ian Book, and then Kyren Williams just taking the wheel behind a really good offensive line.
Yeah,
and Notre Dame's just grinding.
The holes are huge, but yeah. Williams looks like fucking explosive as hell.
AJ's just dropping F bombs every other word today.
It's Sunday morning. I gotta swear. I won't say it this time. Quickly, Dracovic, Zay Flowers, the best connection in the country, baby. Keep an eye on them. Flowers looks awesome on the deep routes.
Okay, Weekday Warrior. I'm going to start with Thursday night, the Houston-Tulane game. We get Marquez Stevenson in his debut after Houston had four games canceled in a row.
Correct, yeah.
Tops 100 yards, has a score, also had a 97-yard kick return touchdown, which was beautiful. His patience on that was awesome.
Stevenson, like he looked so fast. And I mean, we knew he's fast, but he looked so fast on Thursday night, man. That kick return touchdown was amazing. It was just... Looked like he was kind of dead twice there, and he just reverse field and gone. He's my weekday warrior.
I also put Tutu Atwell here for the Friday night game against Georgia Tech because it feels like every week he is open deep and gets missed by Malik Cunningham and should have a bigger game than he actually has. He ended up with 52 yards and a great touchdown snag, but he once again should have way more yards. He just needs better quarterback play.
Hey, it's funny you said that because he was one of my prospects who played the box score because, like you said, should have had way more yards. And then, the touchdown grab was great. It was wide open, but he had to dive for it. It just felt like Malik Cunningham kept missing him. And then, even his catches feel difficult, so I gave him the nod there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, even on his touchdown grab, like, he was wide open. He had to make a great adjustment.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, best prospect overall that you saw?
I went to, like, the five usual suspects, to be honest.
Oh, my God, you have so many for every category.
I know, I'm bad this week.
Try to do three. Let's limit to three going forward. Okay. Shooting up the board, you can do five. Sliding down, five. But everywhere else, maybe three. No one wants to listen to you ramble and say the F word every other word.
Oh, my God. Okay. Trevor Lawrence is really good, Rob.
I think reason to put him here is he was just taking an absolute beating.
Yeah, for real. The probably more on the Miami defensive line kind of kicking Clemson's butt, but it didn't matter because they still blew the doors off them. And Trevor Lawrence looked great, had the rushing touchdown too. It was like I don't know how many throws he really missed, man. And obviously we haven't done the tape on this game. We just watched it live while watching two other games, but Like, you know, he had the other long play that should have been a touchdown where he hit the receiver in the chest.
Yes.
What an amazing throw. That was a brutal drop. Yeah, man. It's just like, you know what else? I remember that, like, the pump fake where, like, he should have been sacked and, like, the pump just got the defense. Like, that was awesome. It's just all the little things. It's like every single snap Trevor Lawrence does, if you're paying close enough attention, he does, like, something little that's like, holy shit, that's really impressive.
Yeah, I guess one of the big takeaways, you mentioned the Miami defensive line winning a lot. Yep. It just didn't seem to matter all that much because Trevor Lawrence is so poised under pressure and so good at creating and navigating a muddy pocket. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned the little things, like the way he'd move a safety with his eyes and then just dump it into space to Amari Rodgers or Travis Etienne. And the things like that, it's just – and he's getting murdered throughout the game.
Yeah, the one hit, which was kind of, you know, the spear kind of hit. Excuse me, I didn't think they should have put him back out there. And then on the drive, he finished it with a rushing touchdown. I'm like, what the fuck? Sorry, F-bomb. I'll throw UTN here again, especially in the passing game. 8 catches for 73 yards. And like you said, just a lot of dump downs. But it almost felt like he was, I guess, he was a go-to guy in the passing game. Like, it was a lot of design screens and stuff. And
There's been a major uptick in them using him as a pass catcher this year. I think part of that is the youth at receiver outside of Amari Rodgers.
Yes.
They're running way more screens to him.
Yeah.
And it's also a huge plus because, again, like, the one thing to worry about potentially with him was his ability as a pass catcher. And last year he showed he can do it. But this year he's showing it's, like, a huge positive in his game. And he's looking more and more like Alvin Kamara. Plus, he had that 72-yard touchdown run where just his burst, his ability to hit 100 immediately is insane.
I was behind on my stream, but you just said laugh aloud or something, and I knew once I saw the handoff that even though there wasn't much doing on that play, I knew Etienne was gonna absolutely house it. Okay,
exposing me for my hipster laugh out loud lingo.
Yeah, ooh, you're such a hipster. To put you on the spot, because I know it's not a spot you like to be in. Is Etienne going to be a first round running back that you never ever admit that there is such a thing?
No.
Not on your board. Is he going to go in the first round?
No.
Okay. I think he will.
James Robinson, he couldn't even get drafted.
Okay, well, because they don't listen to our show, those dum-dums in the NFL.
Speaking of running backs, because Trevor Lawrence is going to be in this spot pretty much every week, it would seem. So my focus this week is on Etienne Najee Harris, who were pretty, I think, much consensus 1 and 2 running backs ending this season, and they both just look like they're on an even like a better level again this year. Harris ran for 5 touchdowns, top 200. Once again, looks strong in the passing game. He is just running harder than anyone in college football right now. He's so physical. It feels like he's breaking 2 tackles every carry. He hurdles someone once a week. He is awesome.
Yeah, draft both of them. Go to an old school running approach. You'll never lose. Did have the fumble, but, like, you know, it was pouring rain, and it was kind of a tough fumble. It was just a good play by Ole Miss.
Do you have anybody else here?
Am I allowed to? Okay, while we're at Bama, DeVonta Smith and Waller were amazing.
He was the best prospect?
Who?
You gotta figure this out. He's a shooting up the board guy, I would say.
Smith or Waddle?
Smith.
Okay. Shooting up the that's kind of, they've kind of blended into mine. And I've got a lot of here. Okay, DeVonta Smith shooting up the board. Go ahead. Let's move.
I was just gonna say with DeVonta Smith, I feel like he's a guy who could end up sliding to the second round just because he is not the guy Jalen Waddle is.
Yeah. Fair enough. My the bottom of my categories blend into the next one. I make beautiful transitions. Okay, let's go with DeVonta Smith shooting up the board. 13 catches, 164 yards, and a touchdown. Looked amazing.
Route running king.
Yeah, I mean, Waddle on that one, the where you kind of just like a pump and go kind of route.
And how to adjust?
Yeah, but, like, man, it's almost like he felt exactly where the DB's eyes were, because it's like it's almost like he sold it. And then he could feel where the DB was taking the false step. And then that's when he shot up. It was so awesome. So I put those guys there, too.
Do you think they both end up – like, Jalen Waddle's going to go in the first round. I think we're both pretty confident with that. Do you think DeVonta Smith ends up in the first round, or do you think he's a casualty of a deep playmaker class, and him being more of the awesome route runner with great hands than necessarily the 4-3 guy.
You know what? To be honest, I think like I like Devonta Smith a lot. Obviously, I think I'm slightly lower than I think you and the Devonta Smith stands are, but I still like him a lot. So like,
I love Devonta Smith.
I know, and I like him a lot. But seeing him slide out wouldn't shock me. But like right now, it's hard to say no because he's great. I don't know, man. Like even when he's not having these monster games, like last week with that amazing toe tap. I know that in the NFL it doesn't count, but still showing off the body control.
So that's in your notes. You write this touchdown doesn't count. You subtract one.
I bet you somewhere there are NFL scouts.
That's a thing for sure. 100% That's a thing.
100% anyways, I think he's gonna be in that 25 to 40 range though. But it might be the first.
Yeah. Game. He just feels like a guy who's gonna have such an immediate impact.
Yeah, I'm falling more in love with him as the weeks go by, even more than I was in the summer, to be honest.
I'm excited, like, once this receiver class really gets going when we start with we get some of the Big Ten guys going.
Yeah, for real. I mean, let's jump right in. Shooting up the board, Terrace Marshall, who Brugler kind of mentioned in his article this week, and then all of Draft Twitter latched to. I'm just kidding.
That did happen, so.
It does, but I don't blame him. Who cares? Anyways.
Yeah, it's whatever.
And then he absolutely goes off against Mizzou. They lose, but he goes off against Mizzou. 11 grabs, 235 yards, 3 touchdowns. Nearly won them the game. He got stopped inches short. And then the next two targets were hit him, too. He looked awesome. I liked him in the summer, but I wasn't like ready to anoint him, and I don't think anyone was. But
I was drastically low on him in Field Dumb.
I remember. Yeah, I wasn't high enough, but I do remember you were kind of a little sour. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm like, he just felt like he was such an easy pick to be a big breakout guy. And like some of the other ones we picked have missed, so but yeah, Marshall looked amazing against the old Tigers.
I think one thing that's kind of impressed me with him thus far is he's just such a better route runner than I expected.
Than
I thought while scouting him over the summer.
Yeah. It's almost like you just gotta slap a first round grade on any team or any player that is a big recruit, and they had like a first round draft pick ahead of them, like, or two of them in Marshall's case. You know, it's like you just believe the hype. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you and Walker Little, you've always said that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stick in the SEC and jump to Ole Miss. We're doing tight end. It's tight end talk. Kenny Yeboah.
Awesome.
You mentioned him last week,
and now the hype's weeks.
All coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa.
I mean, your son. Yeboah.
Your son?
It's such a cringy term. No.
I know. It's the best.
He's my best friend.
181 yards, 2 touchdowns. Lane Kiffin does an awesome job moving him around, too. Yeah.
You know what? I think it was last week. They had one where he kind of went in motion and then went on the seam route, but through the A gap or the B gap. And I was like, that's creative as hell. And he got wide open. So it's like he's playing great, but Kiffin is like designing plays for him, and it's just working.
What you have to think about what Kiffin did with Harrison Bryant last year over 3 years at FAU.
Yeah.
And hey, Harrison Bryant has been the best rookie tight end thus far. And then he gets Yeboah, who's obviously the Temple grad transfer. He was always good at Temple, but like not featured whatsoever. And
what a clutch transfer to get for Lane too, by the way.
Yeah. He's like built like a jumbo slot. He's really built very similarly to Harrison Bryant.
Yeah, because they're both about 240, 6'5". They're like very similar.
Yeah. Yeah, they're used in these jumbo receiver roles. And so through 3 games, he's already got 4 touchdowns and 355. And like Kyle Pitts is stealing the show, but Kenny Yeboah is thickly in the top 10 tight end conversation. And really, because the drop, like there's obviously the top 3, then there's like 2 more guys, and then it's very open. Like Kenny Yeboah is a potential top 5 tight end.
Agreed. And so like we mentioned, it was a lot of like Kiffin just getting him open down the seam, and he obviously doing the job and finishing for Yeboah. He had the long catch and run, but then the one catch on the sideline where he went up and it was contested, and I forget what the DB was, but that was great. So like those plays are what I want to see more of from Yeboah. But he's looked fantastic.
I'm going to move to the... Actually, I'll stick in the SEC and just jump to Georgia-Tennessee really quick. Where last week, we were doing a ton of Tyson Campbell talk. This week, Eric Stokes was awesome. Yeah. Their other corner. And that secondary is terrifying. He had a pick. He broke up another pass. He's like Tyson Campbell, well-built. Really explosive downfield. Or like coming down, closing. And showed off really great cover instincts. He's like... That Georgia defense is terrifying. And I also put Monty Rice, their middle linebacker, who was all over the field, had a perfect blitz for a strip sack, recovered it himself, and scored. It's a pretty strong-looking linebacker class, and he is very much one of the guys to watch.
You know who wasn't afraid of Monty Rice and Eric Stokes, baby? Josh Palmer, Brampton's very own, who had two touchdown catches, was cooking deep early and then kind of fizzled off, but I thought he looked good.
I knew you'd mention him.
Yeah. Just do a couple quick ones. You know what? This isn't a quick one. I keep – the more I watch Javian Hawkins, the more I'm kind of falling for him. Like, it was 26 carries for 155 yards, but it was like every carry was like he was making something happen. And he fumbled, but it was in the rain, and he wasn't wearing gloves, so he's a king. But I the more I watch of Hawkins, the more I like him. I know we're kind of – joking about him being running back three during the game, but I'm liking him more and more. Go ahead.
He seems like a guy who's gonna go day three, like fourth round ish, and just immediately be an impact player because he's such a physical runner. He's got really great contact balance. He's got burst too.
You know what I'm feeling right now, and it's not a direct comp, but it's just my feeling in my heart. Is Devin Singletary.
Yeah, no, that's where they're both, like, obviously quite short, but well-built and really great footwork and contact balance.
Yeah, maybe Hawkins isn't the same, like, just pure jittery contact balance as Singletary, but I think he's got more juice.
Yeah, I was going to say he's got better long speed.
Yeah. There's too many guys. UNC trio, not much, but I thought Newsome looked good, especially in the Yak.
Oh, And I thought Diami Brown looked good on his two scores. Exactly. Were just, he really subtle things about his route running that he's improved this year to add to the speed for creating more separation.
Yes, definitely. And you know what? On the second touchdown, I thought it was kind of interesting. Right before the ball got there, he stumbled and he was losing his footing, but he kept his balance and it made the catch. I thought that's just a little impressive feat of athleticism. And then your boy Michael Carter went off for 214.
In the backup, Javonte Williams went for 169 and had some 55 through the air. And they complement each other well, where Michael Carter's, I think, a pretty jittery, fluid back. And Javonte Williams is kind of a bit of a bruiser.
Yeah, Michael Carter-Williams, I know. It's the sickest backfield. it bugs me. I keep mixing their names up because I keep thinking of Michael Carter-Williams.
when are you not thinking of Michael Carter-Williams?
It's constant. But yeah, I thought that those guys looked good for UNC.
Yeah.
And Sam Howell, that we didn't mention in sophomore. Yeah.
That was like, it felt like the first time that the UNC offense looked how it should look.
Yeah, for real.
Right? Like you mentioned Des Newsome quickly, and he looked strong out of the slot. Just really good. Like nothing super explosive, just really smart, working himself open.
And then
really, really effort in the run game was impressive too as a blocker. Mm.
Yeah. Anyone else for you?
Liam Eichenberg.
Yeah.
Black Eye Eichenberg is what I call him.
Yeah.
He has been really, really awesome this year. And the Notre Dame offensive line as a whole has been. And you mentioned them ripping open holes for Kyron Williams earlier. They ran for 353 and four scores, gave up zero sacks. He has looked really good every time I've watched him this year. I think he's going to sneak into that day two conversation.
You weren't too high on him in this summer, right?
I've been very all over the place with him. I was high on him entering last season, where I thought like this could be a top 100 guy. Then entering this season, I thought his play took a step back last year, and he was penalized a lot. And now he's just playing a lot, like, more technically sound. Mm-hmm. He looks stronger. He's very physical and gritty. I think in the classic, he's a right tackle in the NFL. Style way where I think he's a potential top 100 guy.
No, fair enough. And I mean, that Notre Dame offensive line in totality has been amazing. Last one I'll throw in here, quick hitter, Patrick Jones, 3 sacks again. And his running mate, Weaver, had a 6 strip sack. They're kind of all over Dracovic. Even though, go Eagles, they want an OT baby. But, they keep looking great, too.
Yeah, Jones already has, I think, 7 sacks this year.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
He's pushing to be maybe the first edge rusher taken. Gregory Rousseau, maybe opting out, not the move. Sliding down the board, speaking of Gregory Rousseau, I put Derek King. He needed to have a game against Clemson. He had looked quite good through the first 3. He needed this game to, I think, build himself past being a late day 3 undrafted quarterback, and he didn't have it. Threw 2 picks, didn't complete even 50% of his passes. It felt like it was just forced. Like, they don't have very good wide receivers, and it felt like he was just forcing the deep ball and praying, and the ball placement wasn't terrific. The receivers weren't giving him any help. On the other hand, he looked good on the ground, as he always does. And I just think more and more it's going to be a long shot for him to stick in the NFL as a quarterback if he's actually only 5'8", too. That doesn't help.
He was my top guy, too. I'd like to see them. I'm not really criticizing Lashley, but just with the lack of receivers, you think maybe they do a little, and they have, but a little better job in a big game of designing easy throws for King to throw to, especially Brevin Jordan, you know?
Yeah.
I know the easy throws aren't coming against the Clemson defense, who both of those corners look great. Booth had another sick PBU, but
Deron Kendrick looks like that interception he had, I didn't put him anywhere, but he was both of them, like you said, were awesome. And that interception he had, he's a former 5-star who was originally a receiver. He's a guy who I think is going to move up boards for sure.
And Booth had that sick pick last week. He's a sophomore.
Yeah, awesome. And he made another great play on the ball. It wasn't a pick, but he made a great play on the ball that
the ball
threw his whole body.
I had him down for sophomore with just too many guys. The ball skills looked amazing for him so far. King was my top guy.
Defense is going to be scary.
Yeah, King was my top guy. I mean, we kind of have to put KJ Costello again because he threw 4 picks and they scored 2 points against Kentucky.
2 points on 67 attempts or something?
That's fucked. That's
that's Mike Leach, baby.
Yeah, terrible.
And Mike Leach blamed the whole team, saying they have he didn't say what was the word he used, but basically he said there's guys in the program they're gonna have to get rid of.
Oh, great. That's so great.
I saw someone quote tweet and be like, we've gotten the whole Mike Leach career experience in 1 month already.
I got a long list of guys, actually. I'm an asshole this week. You go ahead.
I will go with Zamir White, the Georgia running back.
I had him too.
Against Tennessee, and I didn't like him that much in the summer because I didn't think he looked that explosive, and that showed up against Tennessee where he just doesn't look that explosive, and maybe it's the 2 knee injuries, and he wasn't really breaking any tackles. He was going down first contact a lot, and then their younger running backs were kind of much more flashy. I don't know. He just seems like he gave me Sony Michel vibes, current Sony Michel vibes.
New England Sony Michel vibes.
Giving him so many carries. And he just doesn't look very athletic and isn't breaking anything.
No, I totally agree. And you remember I was higher on him in the summer than you, and I have him here too. That was the first one I kind of put down because, 50 yards on 20 carries is not good. I had the touchdown, but it's been multiple weeks now where he just looked
You know. Okay, who else you got?
I put Jackson Carman. I know Clemson dominated, but he had a couple holding calls. Quinty Roche, I felt like he worked him the whole time. And then he got benched for a few plays.
That was weird.
Yeah, they don't know what really happened, but apparently said something to Dabo. I know it's not like anyone's jumping on the Carman train. It feels like even have you seen
in
people?
The summer, in the summer, some people on draft Twitter were like, he's a first-round pick.
Okay.
Because he's a former 5-star, right? Yeah. He's at Clemson. But I totally agree. I put him the best prospect versus prospect matchup.
Me too.
And with Roche, and then I also put him for overhype because you're right. The holding calls, Quincy Roche was working him. He didn't look like he had the foot speed or the athleticism to hang with a speed rusher like Roche. He kind of looks like a guard to me with his playing style. And I thought tough week for him.
Yeah, no, for sure. Who else do you have?
I put Marvin Wilson.
Me too.
Yeah, he just didn't have any impact on that game while Notre Dame was moving him around and like, ripping open huge runs. And this interior defensive line class looks like it's not going to be good at all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's a game that, like, you know, FSU was in it. They just couldn't stop the run. You need a guy like Marvin Wilson to step up and make some tackles in the run game, man. Like, that's his thing.
He wasn't doing anything as a pass rusher either, which...
Exactly. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, if he's not going to do that, then you need him to make plays in the run. So,
yes. Yeah,
he finished for one tackle, and like you said, Notre Dame had infinity rushing yards.
Infinity.
I'll do a couple of quick-hitting Big 12 wide receivers to finish my list off.
Ooh.
I thought Tariq Black and Brendan Eagles haven't been very impressive.
Black just hasn't played that much either.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, the good thing for him is he's going to get the extra year. So it's like, but you know, like there was the big hype in the summer.
Yes.
And obviously, big five stars.
Well, there's been big hype since he went to Ann Arbor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just like, if this was a regular year, it'd be a little more like damning, but it's not the biggest deal. But Eagles, kind of like, you know, kind of interesting guy, had that big drop last week and just not making the biggest plays. And going, no. This is a direct line from the Big 10 to the Big 12 transfer receivers. Spielman also, like, it's like, yeah, it's a new school.
That's a good point.
But they just haven't got him involved in the offense much. And it's not at like all. They have world beaters out there catching the fucking football. Another F-ball.
No.
But I don't know. I think he had like two catches, and I think they gave him a carry.
Literally the first TCU game I watched, I forgot he was on the team until like halfway through the game when he finally was on the field and caught a pass.
For real.
And like he's just primarily been their punt returner and like had zero role with that offense.
Yeah. So again, the bonus year is nice, but if this was a regular year, that'd be pretty bad.
And then I'm going to go with Jacoby Stevens, the safety for LSU. He just can't cover people.
Yeah, he's a linebacker.
He's a linebacker who can't cover also, though. Because that Missouri all of a sudden has this random quarterback.
Freshman, yeah. I don't know. I can't say his name, so I didn't put him anywhere. I didn't watch
that. Yeah, smart. But yeah, Jacoby Stevens a couple times just getting torched when lined up with they have a good little running back who is the guy I mentioned when they played Bama, who had the touchdown grab on the wheel
Roundtree,
Moses got confused. No, not Roundtree. Roundtree's their RB1.
Oh yeah,
I'm talking about the backup who's like kind of a scat back. He's almost there in Ia Smith in the way he plays slot and running back. And Jacoby Stevens just, I don't think he's got the cover skills to be a safety in the NFL.
Yeah, fair enough. That's it. I'm done my long list of guys.
And you justified all your mean takes by saying, at least they have another year.
They got another year. You know, you can prove me wrong.
Who's your out-of-nowhere prospect?
So, I said I got Caleb Chapman, but I'm going to go back to Friday night. I thought Jared Goldware, the Louisville nose tackle, was interesting. He's 6'6", 305. He's a senior. Blocked the extra point, the big one. Got his big old mitts up there. Also led Louisville in tackles, 6 tackles at TFL. And, like, just keying on him, he's a nose tackle. It's like, he's kind of, you know, he's always facing the center and guard combo there. I thought he looked really interesting. And it's not like it was a monster game or anything, but, I mean, the block kick, it always gets my juices going. But I thought with that size and looks like he moves pretty well, maybe playing out of place a little bit, I think that's an interesting one to watch down the line.
I'm going to go with an old friend of the Florida Gators program, Felipe Franks.
Oh.
I'm in. No.
I can't believe it.
We always knew he was a big-time prospect, and he always had a big arm. But, like, he's playing pretty good football for Arkansas right now. They've been competitive. I mean, they upset LSU. They should have upset Auburn, but the refs fucking fucked them. Bo Nix clearly fumbled on that spike. And they were competitive for a half against Georgia. Like, Sam Pittman has quickly made Arkansas, like, a watchable football program.
I can't remember how hard I was on the Pittman hire, and I can't believe it's looking okay. or go.
The other thing is he's out recruiting all these other new – like he's for the next recruiting class, because, you know, I'm so plugged in on recruiting now, he's recruiting better than Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach, who doesn't know how to recruit, obviously. But, like, they're going to be bowl eligible sooner than later. And probably this year, because everyone makes a bowl this year or something.
If Arkansas makes a bowl this year, I need you to do a pig suey on the show.
A deal. Franks, like, we've seen worse quarterbacks, and I think Felipe Franks to get drafted. Who was that guy who, God, he went to the Jaguars in the fifth round. He was horrible.
Nebraska.
Yeah. He was the Tanner transfer Lee. To Nebraska. Tanner Lee. Like, Felipe Franks is this year's Tanner Lee. That's my take. he's ripping balls downfield. He looks more confident. This was in the rain. He threw for four touchdowns, over 70% completion against a pretty good Auburn defense and a strong secondary.
It's every year there's the Tanner Lee or Steven Montez or someone like that. And yeah, there you go. It's Felipe Franks.
He's definitely better than Steven Montez.
But remember the hype?
Yes. Who made you look stupid?
So obviously they got their doors blown off by Notre Dame, but after me being a jerk to Tamarian Terry last week, he had a good game. And that one deep route,
he very much did.
Yeah, everything Terry does, and 146 yards, 9 catches. Had the tough drop on the 2-point, but I'm not gonna knock him for that one either. That was a tough one. Again, not the best mitts, but this was a big comeback game for Terry, and I had to put him down after I was an ass to him last week. So.
I put Kellen Mond, who I think I put overhyped last week, but then this was, I think, the greatest game Kellen Mond's played as a Texas A&M Aggie. Over 300, three touchdowns, was really strong with his decision-making and his ball placement. And like I said earlier, this quarterback class is so open. We're not really, like, I think it's going to be a pretty rotating hot take door about who QB4 and QB5 are through this season until we all get down to it and really grind out the tape after the season. And it's Shane Bouchel and Felipe Franks, the transfers. But yeah, like Mond, I'll forever hate his shoulder pads, Kellen Mond looked really good in this game. And this is like, this Jimbo needed this win and Kellen Mond gave it to him.
It's funny, though. Like, you could feel it from the first series. It's like, okay, Mond looks good, and they're going to hang around in this game. I don't know how long it's going to last. But then it lasted the whole game, and they won, so.
Best prospect versus prospect matchup. I already mentioned Jackson Carmen, Quincy Roche.
That was mine, too. And, like, I think we could have put Roche for outplay the box score. Cause, like, he didn't get a sack. I think he had, like, a couple tackles.
Yeah.
And just one hurry. But, yeah, like we mentioned, I felt like he just handled Jackson Carmen.
Yeah, for sure. Prospect who outplayed the box score. Who do you have?
A couple guys. I'm going to go with Jock first, your boy. And I think a lot of
people. Hey, that's who I put.
Hey, that's funny.
Because, like, he actually had a good box score, like five tackles, two TFLs in a hurry. But he was so much more than that.
Dude, okay, first of all, every single hit he made was a goddamn highlight.
Yeah,
flipping guys, sitting guys the fuck down. Like, it was
awesome. It was a car crash on every tackle.
Yeah, man. He was just a lot of fun to watch. I'm kind of glad that towards the end of the game, they put together a whole package of his highlights, and it's like, holy shit. This is so
that
fun.
Was sick.
just sitting people down, like you said, a car crash. Just meeting people in the hole and knocking them on their ass. And it was a lot of, like, outside the tackle stuff, but yeah, he's flying around. He looks amazing.
Do you have anybody else?
I do. I put Christian Barmore because I think, like, yeah, he had the sack, and it's not like it was a monster game, but I felt like if you watched him, it feels like he was winning every single rep. And it was taking two guys to kind of get a handle on him. And it was Matt Corral leaving the pocket, and it was like Barmore hot on his tail, trying to get to him. I thought it was an impressive game, even though, sack's nice, and it's you're an ideal. Like, getting a sack in a game is good. But even though, like, it just wasn't a monster game or anything, I thought he looked really good.
And I thought he had a slower first half and really brought it in the second half.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And then, I threw 2-2 here because Cunningham kept missing him.
Prospect who's being overhyped, I already put Jackson Carmen here.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Okay, I'm going back to the well, and I think I found my hill to die on this year, Rob, and that's a bad one. Yes. Kyle Trask, we mentioned already. The stats look great. I don't think the substance looks like like the stats do, though. We mentioned it. It's just like he doesn't get the juices flowing, man. It's like obviously he's playing very well, and I'm just not ready to say he's quarterback 4 or 5 or anything like that. And people seem to be like pushing him into that second round, maybe late first round, being that guy that's like, okay, maybe he's not this good, but he's going to sneak in. And like, yeah, he's throwing for 400 yards a game. I don't know. Like, the throws just don't feel big time to me. I don't think the arm is the greatest. He's not a great athlete or anything. Like, he's big and he's winning.
Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney have really juiced some of his numbers too.
I 100% agree. You know, it's Toney doing it after the catch, and it's Pitts making everything. He just catches everything. It's like, I don't know. It's like you see Pitts like reaching back around the defender and making catches, like, you know, off his back hip, and it's, yeah, he's getting the ball there, but it's not big time throw. So this is my hill until I get to this winter and I look stupid. But yeah, I don't think.
And then for small school guy, I the only G5 game I watched was that Houston Tulane game, so I just put Marquez Stevenson again.
I you know what I did? I dipped into a game we didn't do, but it's the Jay Adams report, baby. Another 6 catch for 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. But look at you, Rob. You know who you forgot about? Luan Winningham, the Central Arkansas receiver. Another 3 touchdown games. He's got 8 touchdowns in 4 games. Who, I know we watch a lot of Central Arkansas Bear football games early in the season. He looked interesting, a weird, kind of an interesting guy. I don't know if we'll ever say his name come the spring, but he's balling right now, so you got to give him some credit.
You know who else you have to give credit to?
Don't say 2020.
2020. No, I wasn't going to, but then you said that. Listen up, fellas. Today we have a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker, nose and ear trimmer, your hair trimmer. Take a look in the mirror, and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven pubes. And AJ, if you just try to pluck these hairs out yourself, you'll die.
Death.
Remember that.
Instant death.
I read that on a Reddit. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with a Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nick, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it's waterproof, which makes it for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled your nose hairs out with your fingers? No, but death. You'll die. That might hurt worse than nicking your balls. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to, delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes. You will get a replaceable blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean, enjoyable. Time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of your partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. But hey, that 21%, they think it's hot. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with a weed whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with their code ROGUETHEORY at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping our pubes trimmed and hairs in our holes looking nice. Hey, but also, if you don't like the Rogue Theory code, try this one. Armchair for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds.
Rob,
what?
I got some bad news. You've actually been suspended for 2 weeks for that ad.
Why? It was a good read.
Yeah.
I read it really well.
No, it's like, two-week suspension.
Shut up. The wait is finally over for a I read that already. I'm not on today.
three weeks now, buddy.
Me and Ian Rappaport, man. hey, Bet Online. You want to go make money? Bet Online. At Bet Online, your online sports books experts and the presenter of My 5 Picks of the Week and AJ's One Short of a Six-Pack. How'd you do last week?
2-3, but Ole Miss should have counted. It was they didn't cover our line, but they covered the other line.
I went 3-2 because I took Bama.
Oh, you're so smart.
I know. It's like I said at the top of the show. It's not a great week in week 7. Obviously, we get Georgia, Alabama at the end of the night. So maybe we'll have some different picks this week. Yeah. I'm starting Friday night, 9:30 on ESPN. Number 15, BYU at Houston. Obviously, these rankings will change by the time you're listening, probably. But I'm going to take BYU minus 14.5. What do you think?
I'm glad you brought this game up. I thought about it, but I was so salty after BYU kicked the shit out of Louisiana Tech last week and then didn't cover this week against UTSA. So I was going to take Houston. I think that line's solid. I'll give it to you, but roll Cougs. Which ones? Houston.
No, I'm taking BYU.
I know. I'm taking, not really taking, but I'm taking Houston. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I believe in Zach Wilson, who I thought was your guy. Guess not. He's my son now. What's your first game?
Yeah, I'll stick with a weekday game, baby. Wednesday, 7:30, Espen. Coastal Carolina, ULL. I said the Raging Cajuns minus 4.5. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Coastal Carolina is good, and the Raging Cajun have played it close a lot of the time.
Exactly. And you know what I'm doing? Taking my Chanticleers, baby.
Now I respect it.
Roll Shanties. They're going into ULL. They're upsetting the whatever they are, 23. But
we love the quarterback.
Yeah. Wow. I'm McCall? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
McCall's going to go in, and Levi Lewis is going to pass the torch of, okay, you're the next one, kid. They're going to upset ULL.
That was a cool thing to say. Okay. Noon on either ABC or ACC Network. Pitt at not anymore rated number 7 Miami. I think Miami minus 7.5. What do you think?
It's a tough one, right? Pitt coming off the loss. Miami looked, you know, decimated. I think it'll be in that 7 to 10 neighborhood, so I'll let you have it.
Thank you, and I will be taking Miami. I think this is a big rebound game for them. It's going to be really fun to watch that pass rush against this offense.
Miami's offensive line isn't good, but
I think Pitt's going to keep it relatively close. But in the end, I think D'Arc King has a nice little bounce back game.
It should be an entertaining enough game. Like Kenny Pickett is at least fun to watch, right?
Yeah, like it's I think probably the best noon game to watch.
Yeah, no, you might be right. I'll stick at noon in the ACC on ABC. Clemson at Georgia Tech because I had to. I'm taking Clemson minus 21.5.
I think it's going to be...
It's at Bobby Dodd coming off...
It's at Bobby Dodd and they got that win. Okay, I'll give it to you.
Okay. I almost wanted to pick Georgia Tech, but just like... You know, relying on two freshmen against this Clemson behemoth, it isn't going to work. I mean, if King and Miami can't get it done, they're going to make Georgia Tech look bad. I think Sims is just going to get rattled, and yeah, Clemson is Clemson, man.
3:30 ESPN, not ranked this anymore. Number 17 LSU at not ranked this anymore. Number 4 Florida. I got the Gators minus 12.5.
Okay, we matched up here. I struggle with the line. I put it 7.5. So you want to go 10.5?
Sure. Okay. LSU's not very good.
Yeah, no, I'm taking Florida too.
I'm taking Florida. Yeah, like the Florida defense sucks, but the LSU defense also sucks, and the Florida offense, I trust more than the like. I trust the Florida defense to make more plays than the LSU defense at this point too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the total is going to be. But if it's like under 65, take the over. It's gonna be a lot of
like points. This. Florida's gonna be like ranked 10, and LSU won't be ranked. But this is a game to watch, I still think, because LSU still has prospects all over that team.
Yeah, and I shit on Kyle Trask every week, but good college quarterback, and he's still he's gonna be a solid pick. But I also take Florida. Can't trust much on LSU. Miles Brennan kind of had some flashy throws, but I mean they lost to Mizzou, man. They're going to lose.
7 p.m. ESPN. I've got number 8 UNC, who will be ranked higher. 9.5 point favorites on the road at Florida State.
I think that's going to be bigger. At least give me 10.5.
Okay, I'll give you 10.5. And I'm obviously taking North Carolina. Their running game was awesome last week. And the Florida State defense, non-existent. I think Florida State will be able to hit some big plays here or there because they were able to against Notre Dame, obviously. But, like, North Carolina really found its footing last week. I'm excited to watch Chaz Surratt in this game, too. I mean, he's a guy I'm excited to watch every week. And we don't talk about him that much on here, but damn, he is fun.
From your
linebacker class in general.
Yeah, it is. It feels a little low-key fun right now, to be honest. Like, it's not getting the attention it deserves. And understandably, because, you know, the big dog is out. Why are you messaging me? From your ACC team to my ACC team, baby. 8 p.m. ACC Network, the best channel on TV. Boston College at Va Tech. Not sure.
I almost picked this.
Okay. 4.5 Va Tech. What do you think about that?
It's at Va Tech?
Yeah, in Blacksburg.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
I'm not sure. You know, Va Tech didn't look great, but BC looked good. I'm taking my Eagles. You already know I was taking my Eagles.
I knew you were.
I'm rolling on the Dracovic and Flowers train. And Hunter Long train, baby. I love them. They're my favorite players in the world. Roll Eagles.
Rightfully so. And then I think both our final games will be 8 p.m. CBS, number 3 Georgia at number 2 Alabama. Bama 3.5 point favorites.
I put 4.5.
Is what I put it.
Yeah.
For Bama? We'll go 4.
Okay.
And who are you taking? I went back and forth with it.
I also went back and forth. Let's break it down a little bit then. That Bama, the wide receiver core for Bama against that Georgia.
I don't think there's a better or a more fun matchup during the regular season than this Alabama offense against this Georgia defense.
Not off the top of my head, no. I agree. This is the first test for old Mac. It's going to be interesting. But then when the Bama defense on the field against that Georgia offense, Stetson Bennett looks fun. He's getting it done. The Bama D's a little rocky to start. I'm trusting that Bama defense, the talent.
Me too. That's how I decided.
Yeah.
Because obviously that I think that's like the big question is, do you trust the Georgia offense or the Alabama defense more? And even though Alabama got torched this week, they have first round talent on each level. Versus that Georgia offense doesn't really, like, Kyrus Jackson has looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
George Pickens has so much talent, but he's not.
Yeah, they got to get him more involved and stop squirting water at people.
That was hilarious though. Their offensive line's been shaky, and like, is Stetson Bennett going to be able to at Alabama with Christian Barmore in his face, with Josh Jobe, Patrick Surtain in that secondary, and Dylan Moses coming downhill? Like, I don't know. So I think the smart money would be Alabama here.
And I think Waddle, like, as great as Campbell and Stokes are, and LeCount, Waddle's a bit of a game breaker. And I think you can only contain him for so long. And then you got Smith working underneath too. You know what I mean? It's too much.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so hey, roll Crimson Tide. But actually, I hope Georgia wins. But roll Crimson Tide.
Yeah, me too.
That's how you hedge it. You hope for Georgia, but like if Bama wins, you win.
It's gonna be we're gonna see this game again at the end of the year in Atlanta, anyways. So what's the difference?
No, we're not. Neither of these teams are in the SEC championship. That's my hot take.
That's a great take. I love it. Ole Miss.
Hey, come back next week when we talk, or next show when we talk NFL rookies. Which we will do at a later day than normal because Thursday Night Football is canceled and there's a Tuesday night game now.
Yeah, so hang around, probably coming up Friday.
Yeah, we're lazy.